On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Let's do this!
1, 2, 3, 4.
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
All time. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over.
Here's a chance. That call. Shot. Rebound. Score.
Hey, everybody. My willy's extended. Crickets. Welcome to Tall Can Sports. Rob's over there.
Hey.
Matt's over here. He's way less excited.
Hey, so the other day,
yeah,
local Ottawa radio, sports talk radio, maybe about 8 o'clock on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably, I don't know when this show is going to air, but.
Tonight.
Okay, so Friday night. Friday morning, they came in with the breaking news. All right, breaking news. This just in. William Nylander passed wind. Okay. People texting and going, hey, that's not fucking funny. We take that shit serious. Like something was coming. Breaking news on the Nylander front. And you're like, yeah. No.
I got to tell you, I was watching Sens and Sharks on Saturday afternoon. They spent the entire second intermission talking about William Nylander.
Had he signed by that point?
No.
Oh.
So as long as Leafs fans were remaining miserable right up until the deadline, we were taking Sens fans down with us who could care less other than to take some joy in seeing him not sign potentially.
Well, all the hockey insiders clearly, right, they're all operating out of the GTA.
Yeah.
So.
Well, in this case, they were in the building in Ottawa, but it was still your.
Yeah, but everybody,
Dreger,
yeah, everybody
Mike
was
Johnson,
here, right?
James Duthie. That's right. So we will get into that game a little later on as it saw Erik Karlsson return to Ottawa for the first time since the trade. Lots to get to there. You can give us a follow on Twitter at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. The show's on Instagram and Spotify, all that stuff. Follow.
Give us a look, man.
I think given where we started or given where we finished on the last show, we will start with Nylander here. Just because ideally this is the final time we'll have to fucking talk about this. I asked you on the last show, would you be comfortable giving him 6.9 over 6 years? Which is also where I said I thought it would land. You said from the team, yes. From the player, no. I think that was a fairly popular sentiment. There's been a ton of debate since this came down as to who won, who caved, who whatever. To me, this isn't ideal for the Leafs, but it's workable. And this is clearly not what Nylander would have wanted when he set out. But it allows him to save some face as his annual cap hit and everything goes above Pasternak, which has been the comparable all along. You said on the last show, if no one's thrilled with the deal, probably means it's just about right. Is that kind of where you'd come down on this at 6.9 over 6 years?
Yeah, well, I think to me the team, if he does continue to trend in the direction he's going,
yeah,
I think the team wins in this.
Okay. And he is at worst, because he's done it for the first 2 years of his career, he's at worst a 20 to 25 goal scorer who's going to get over 60 points.
Well, and I think what happens here as
sub 7 million
as
not
he
bad.
As he continues to, well,
that's see, the worst he
see,
could be, right?
Okay, well, see, where I'm coming with this is Pasternak, that contract was outdated within a year.
Within 20 minutes.
Right. So, yeah. So to me, the Pasternak Goodrow deals, those two that were signed close to each other.
Right. They but were those have been the comparables all along.
I know, but I'm saying you need to put some inflationary, yep. You know, both from cap
yep.
and where things at on it. I think if the Leafs were able to hold them to slightly above the Pasternak money.
Yep.
I think if he continues to go in the direction he is, and it's funny because I don't watch or give a shit about a lot of Leaf stuff. I watch them occasionally because they're always on the TV forever.
Sure are. God love them.
But the thing is, and what the non-Leaf fan sometimes maybe forgets or overlooks is when you couple Nylander with Matthews,
yeah.
how strong they are in the cycle game and how mm-hmm. in their puck possession. Right, as they both continue to grow, and Matthews, clearly...
He's at a goal a game this season.
Right, and if you look at Nylander, hopefully will only get stronger the older he gets.
Yeah.
Right? You go, you already have that puck possession, and you're able to dominate offensive zone time.
Yeah.
That's only going to get better. To me, that deal, Nylander's going to regret that deal, like, next year.
Okay. And I don't know that I necessarily disagree with that. Apparently, this came down to the wire. Like, the Leafs presented one kind of more offer early in the morning on the last day. He kind of sat on it. And Kyle Dubas said in his press conference that with a 5 o'clock deadline, Nylander phoned him personally, like, instead of agent to assistant GM or whatever, it was Nylander to Dubas and said, do you want to make a deal? And... Yeah, I've been wanting to make one since August.
Well, and see, to me, I think Dubas has taken a lot of heat.
Yep.
And I think at the end of this, I think this is the right deal.
Would you agree that most of that heat is coming from the old school thinking or whatever? I think a lot of the analytics community, and maybe it's because Dubas is a darling in that community, are fully with him. That this is what... these players are going for now. The days of paying this veteran group long into their 30s and then, complimenting them with young players around them is over. It's now the young players that you compliment with the million-dollar Tyler Ennis that you've got this year. And he probably leaves this year if he continues to do well, wanting more money.
Right.
But
flip side, you flip that over to Ottawa with 27 and a 28-year-old Stone and Dzingel. You give those guys 8-year contracts.
Right.
The way the game has gone, yeah, you're going to regret those for probably the back half. Like the back 4 years yeah. on an 8-year deal.
And I have debated that a bunch, right? Like,
but it's where changed.
Where do you gamble? Like, and you'll correct me because you're not shy about doing that. If I'm mischaracterizing you, on a lot of these, like Bishop is the one who stands out. But we've talked about this a bunch of times that... the gamble is you give him a 5-year deal. You hope he's good for all of it, but you know he's good for 2 of it, and then you kind of eat it on the back end.
Yep.
My thing is I want to gamble on the kid,
okay.
right? I want to gamble on the 22-year-old, and if he doesn't pan out, fine. But I don't want to gamble on the guy who we know is past his prime, right?
Right, and I am. You're
it's just
right.
a different approach.
I have been very much on the because that's the way the league's gone.
Yeah.
Right, is – you know, if I'm running my team and you're running your team, well, everybody knows I'm going to pay for whatever. I'm going to give him that 8-year contract, 5 of it because he's going to be a stud.
Yeah.
And I know that part of doing business is that extra 3 years. So I'm going to entice you.
Seabrook's going to kill me at the end.
Right. I'm going to entice you to come my way.
Right.
Right. What you're proposing and you're saying, yeah, but I don't want to do that. I want to pay the 22-year-old.
Yeah. And if it doesn't pan out, it's going to be just as bad. But But I'll gamble on that end, not on the vet.
And I think that is exactly where it's at. Where you look at, you'd hope that the rest of the league would gain sanity, and you go, Matt Duchene, you're 28. I want to give you all the money you want for 5 years.
Right. JVR got 4 years at $7 million, right? He's going to get you 30-ish goals per year. He hit 40 last year. I don't expect that to be the new normal. But no one would give him 7 years. You'll take 4 or 5, man. That's what we're doing now.
Well, see,
I know Matt Duchene's a better hockey player than JVR, but yeah, recent.
But what happens is you're holding, and whoever that guy is, we call him Matt Duchene. It could be anybody coming to UFA.
Yeah.
You don't want to, as your team, in a less than desirable market like Ottawa, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Carolina, Florida, wherever it may be, you don't want to push to
send
UFA
your hate
time.
Tweets who had Tolkien audio, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Ottawa, Carolina.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's sad for you people out there.
Self-identify.
Yeah, it's a little self-awareness.
Right.
Nobody wants to go to where you are. You draft well or you die.
Yep.
So nobody's, look back to, what's his name there? Why you have to hate
Brizgalov?
Breezy saying, I don't want to go to Winnipeg because there's no culture there.
Right. You're bringing all the culture yourself you need there, Breezy.
Yeah, but this is it. Is you feel the pressure of your own UFAs going, hey man, if I'm in Ottawa, I can't afford to say, yeah, Dutchie, we want to give you 5-6 years tops.
Right.
Because somebody else.
That's legit. That's all legit. Like, I think at least the last two years of John Tavares is going to be bad, right? But that's what it cost to get him to leave the island. So it's not like the Leafs haven't made this mistake.
We may see John Tavares being the third or fourth best player on his team right now.
Oh, I think he's third right now at best, behind Marner and Matthews.
Yeah.
We'll see after that. But, I think both those guys are. It's just a question of philosophy at this point. Where do you want to allocate those dollars? And if it's going to blow up on your face, do you want to be gambling at the end on a guy with a proven track record? And sometimes those do work out.
Well,
do you want to gamble on the guy with no track record but the great upside?
Right.
So
because the difference
is, you could
is,
look just as bad, but where do you want to look?
Well, and the difference is, and how quickly the shift has come from my way of thinking to what you're proposing.
Right.
Is in the last 2 years, the game has changed so quickly to being a speed game.
Yeah.
And you have guys now, you go, where for a while there, it was guys were fitter than ever.
Yep.
Guys were competing into their late 30s.
For sure.
And now you go, it's like the game has just become smaller guys, quicker guys, skill guys, right? We've shifted so far away.
And we're seeing it across sports in general, right? Like, it didn't take 2 years for the Albert Pujols contract to look like shit. He signed it at 32.
I don't even know where that guy is now.
He's in Anaheim, but barely, right? Like, Josh Donaldson, fighting here in Toronto, ends up getting a one-year deal. We'll talk about that on the next episode in Atlanta. Again, 32 years old. That is not supposed to be over the hill, but people won't commit to that anymore. And so it's an interesting thing. I look at this. I do think the Leafs went higher than they wanted, not unworkably higher, but this is right now, with Nylander in, as good as that forward group is ever going to be. Next year, you're going to have to sign Matthews. You're going to have to sign Marner. You know, think what you want about them, but there's a good chance Hyman has to go, or Brown has to go, or...
Well, okay, whatever I think about him and whatever you think about him.
The listener in general, not...
Yeah, is that very rich second tier that is absolutely supporting the top end guys.
Right.
If you got to start now going the Chicago route where half your lineup is making a million or less.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to be, right? But this was my thing all along. You don't give Willie everything he wants, but you pay the guy... fairly. You don't cut off one of your top three or four guys to save Connor Brown or Zach Hyman. You keep signing your top guys and you cut loose Par Lindholm. You cut loose Zach Hyman, Connor Brown, and you hope that you keep ending up with Andreas Johnsson, right?
See, and if you look, who is your Marian Hossa, right? who is that guy who is one of those back diving contracts, which they don't have
that's
anymore.
That's the problem. Right? When you do the comparison, LA and Chicago got fat on those before that last lockout in 2013. Yeah. And so that's why they were able to get through their cup years before they died and started having to pitch those guys out. That can't happen anymore. And so you're seeing young teams have to make those decisions way earlier.
And you hope Chicago's a cautionary tale, because Kane and Taves started making the fat money either after the second or third cup.
Right.
Right. And you go, now I'm paying you
for what you used to do,
but now I can't afford anybody else, and you can't do what you used to do.
Right. Yeah. To me, in this model, if it's going to work, and that's still a big if, it's your kind of $2 to $4 million guys that kill you. Zaitsev is killing us at $4 million for 7 years. That was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you won't have any of those guys.
You can't. You're going to have your top end superstar. It's going to be Tavares, Matthews, Kadri, Marner, Nylander, and then a bunch of guys from the Marlies at 600,000 to $1 million, and vets
signings
like Tyler Ennis, hoping to re-up their, at $1 million for 1 year.
And stellar late first round picks because you're going to be a top 10 team.
Right. And that's just how it's going to have to go. Right. And we got lucky that the Morgan Rielly contract is an unbelievable deal for what he is. It's in the fours. Kadri is in the fours, but only for another 2 or 3 years, right? So that gets you through, this time period. But you're going to see a lot of UFAs and Marlies on 1 year deals.
You guys need to win a cup this year.
Well, and I think that's why this Nylander thing became so big for both sides, right? He obviously needed to get back in. He wouldn't recoup all his money in the KHL. He wouldn't, you're never going to get it back if you sit out the whole year. For the Leafs, the way things are going, they're a 19-8 with Matthews out most of the year and Nylander has been out all of this season. This is as good of a chance as they're going to have.
Yep.
And if you lose whatever in the first round or the conference final or whatever with Nylander sitting on the sidelines, it's a bad look, right? And this year, at the end of this year, someone's going to go. Is it going to be Hyman? Is it going to be Brown? Is it whatever? Someone's going to go, and your forward group won't be as good. So you needed to get him in now.
And Gardner, he's going to need.
I think he's probably going to have to go. Yeah, we'll see. And there was talk on headlines between Chris Johnston and Elliot Friedman during the Saturday night game during the second intermission that was, he might be willing to stay for a hometown discount, but it's going to be a hell of a discount. And I'd be surprised if he was willing to take as much as it's going to take, So in terms of where I'm sitting, I just think it's kind of a, put all your cards into the middle right now and take one run at it. And as long as that's the approach, you can't leave Nylander sitting at home. You have to get this done and take one run at it before you start to lose your guys. But again, it's lose the bottom guys. You don't lose Willie so you can keep Connor Brown, who I love. You lose Connor Brown so you can keep Willie.
Yeah, this is the way it has to be. You have to do it now because you're looking at working off of a fat farm team or, to fill out that bottom half of your lineup.
Yep. So it's interesting, and there's been all kinds of, Don Cherry didn't like it. Brian Burke didn't like it. I
can't believe Don Cherry had time between all his Andro Testo boost that he's out there plugging wherever he goes. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. It's a little disturbing, to be honest with you.
And I've tried it. And I've tried all those other products. And I'm like, who, Don?
Don, why?
Who are you trying those on? Yeah. That's what I want to know. Am I filling a sock? Yeah, I do. Sorry, man. But yeah, what's he doing?
I don't think we really want to know, to be honest.
Is the escort business getting fat?
Oof.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. So it's done. It's a 10.2 cap hit for year one. It's a 6.9
for the next 5 years.
As any 6.9, mutually beneficial to both sides, so that works out nicely. Anything else on this before we move on to?
No, man. Hopefully the rest of the world can move on.
No, for sure. It's been a bit much, and I spent a good part of Saturday afternoon, you know, refresh. Anything? And apparently, like I said, it's Willie who called him somewhere between 4:15 and 4:30 and said, let's make a deal. And they filed it into the league office at 4:55. So, I don't know. I talked on the last show that it was kind of shitty that if you can't negotiate without a deadline, and apparently one of these two guys or both of these guys couldn't, you know, just make a fucking deal. I got to think this deal was out there months ago.
Well, that's when you sent that to me. You sent me the details, and I said, man, that to me seems like a contract that could have been done a while ago.
I agree with that. But I think the Leafs thought they would get him for less, and Nylander thought he would get more, and so here we are.
So there you go. As Rob said in the last show, when both people feel like they've given up too much,
yep,
you've got yourself a deal.
On Saturday, we also saw the return of Erik Karlsson to Ottawa. In a rather lopsided loss to the Senators. This was not at all what I expected. I personally found, and I don't know if you've seen a YouTube video or anything since of the celebration.
I haven't seen it at all. No, I've been out since yesterday afternoon, and I came here before going home.
It was pretty muted. He was asked in Toronto about how he felt about the return to Ottawa, and he basically just spun around on his heel and walked out of the
Ken Campbell of the Hockey News lit off the post game with, well, Eric, the time is nigh.
I'd walk the fuck out on that guy, too.
Yeah. Well, to me, answer the questions about a game you just lost 5-3 or whatever it was and you didn't play particularly well. How about giving me the decency of asking me about those first and then say, all right, now when you talk about Ottawa and you're going back tomorrow or 2 days or 3 days from now, whatever it is.
I don't like Kent Campbell. I think he kind of sucks. But I didn't find that to be an unreasonable question.
I think if you're going to, that's what you're going to lead the post game.
Right.
I think it's a totally legit question.
Right.
That you want to tuck in after we talk about your 5-3 loss to the Leafs.
Oh, I want to talk lots about that.
But yeah, hey, you guys have come east. You're now 3-game losing streak. You know, what's happening? Let's talk about this. I don't think you, if you're Ken Campbell, you have Leaf guys there. I'm sure you have Shark guys there who are looking to get their bit done, their info or soundbite or whatever it is on the game that just happened.
Yeah.
But you have national media saying,
want to talk about the bigger story.
Yeah. I want to get my little piece that I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And now you guys are all going to get nothing.
So for you, as a Sens devotee, didn't mean shit that he didn't want to talk about it. It was just the wrong time that he spun on his heel and walked out.
For sure. Now, I think it's a bit bitch-like to do that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get
thin-skinned. And I think he's always been like that.
Right.
He'll answer a bunch of uncomfortable questions.
Yeah.
To me, he's always shown the ability to do that. But yeah, to me, I think, and I would say that he clearly was affected by it more than we would have thought or anticipated,
right?
Due to his past, when he's saying, you know, you listen to those sorts of things, saying I don't want to talk about it, right? And leading up to this, they were playing all the clips with him and choked up.
Right. This has been home. And,
right. This is my forever home.
Yeah.
Although apparently loving the Bay Area, which I totally get. The weather is so much better.
Got to be a top five market in the league.
Yeah. And so he and his wife, who's from Ottawa, are loving it there. But yeah, I think he was, if you listen to, he had a little bit of a presser here on Friday after they skated at Ottawa U.
So let me stop you there before we get into that. All of a sudden, it didn't take long after that game on Wednesday night in Toronto. It seemed to be Thursday morning. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, seemingly, we're talking about the problems in the locker room last year. were as much Erik Karlsson as they were either the owner or Hoffman or whatever else. We're talking about him being a bit of a dictator. We're talking about, you know, all the lesser sides of Erik Karlsson, which is completely predictable when any guy returns to a Canadian market. The local media or the national media or whatever maybe starts to take their shots that either they've wanted to or they feel like it's good for clicks and reads. All of a sudden, Erik Karlsson's the bad guy. And I think when he left 2 months ago, he was universally in this city the good guy. We hated the owner and the management sucked and didn't whatever.
We still hate the owner.
Yeah, no, for sure.
What happens here is once training camp started and he was already gone.
Yeah.
Right?
First day of camp, I think.
You have a bunch of guys, Mark Stone, chief amongst them, who over and over has said, yeah, we have a tight room now. It's not just about one guy or two guys. And that's been a common refrain, Anderson, any of your leaders, Matt Duchene, guys saying, yeah. And they're not saying, yeah, Karlsson sucked.
Right.
But the message we keep hearing from September on is this isn't just a team about one guy now, right? You look at the power play. We're a top 10 power play.
Yep.
Right?
I'm blown away by the number of goals they're putting up.
You have a guy like Karlsson running your power play, but everything had to run through him.
Well, but is that...
For sure,
did
yes.
he said that or Boucher says that?
Okay, but you are also talking about, as we've touched on in the Nylander conversation, a market that's fragile,
yeah,
who has a superstar who you want to resign, right? Now, maybe in hindsight...
So Boucher is feeling the pressure to get it through him.
This is it.
Right.
Right. We want to do what Erik wants, right? Right or wrong,
yeah.
I'm just saying we are susceptible to that because it's not a strong market. It's not a desirable spot.
Right.
And you want to keep your own. So, yeah, we see it. And again, I'm looking at him and you're like, I'm watching him play in Toronto the other night and the greasy hair sort of hanging out the back and you're like, I never liked that.
Right.
Right. He's a bit rat-faced and weaselly. And you're like, yeah, but he's always been like that. Yeah. And he's been a bit of a diva. But the flip side is he did some shit on the ice.
He was our diva.
Yeah. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right? And so... You had these feelings all the time, right? We talked about it a year ago at Halloween when there was pictures of he and his wife, and he's dressed as Princess Leia, and his wife is dressed as Darth Vader.
That's right.
And it's the third year in a row where he's been dressed as a woman of some variety, and you're like, God, I wish that wasn't our best player, right? And so you sort of go, what? That's our guy,
yeah.
Right? And then now you go and you go, okay, I didn't like that shit.
I can handle Ryan Dzingel in that outfit. I don't need our captain.
Well, and then you go, wow, what? And why is her lightsaber so big?
Well, right? He's a bit of a size queen.
Well, this is it, right? And she's taller than him, I think. Yeah. And you sort of go,
Right.
And so I believe that, yes, he was a bit of a diva, a bit of a control freak, and he'd sort of become that way.
Okay.
But he was outstanding. The flip side is, and I think we touched on it on the last TCA, was whether it's through, you know, the play of Thomas Chabot,
right,
Hotsum Bacho, right? Or
I believe he's leading the league in defenseman points right now.
And he's better defensively than Karlsson was. Not great. He still has some room to move, yeah. Right?
But he's also, what, 20?
21.
Okay.
And the thing is, we sucked last year with Karlsson.
Right.
Like, it was an epically bad team.
Yeah.
Sure was. And as of right now, we're a 500 team, which, is that great? Are we making the playoffs? No, but...
It's well above what people predicted.
It was well above what I predicted.
Yeah.
And you go, we have a lot of shit to be... I'm not sure if I mentioned it on the last show, but I've moved past it. It's like I've moved past it. And that was before the game yesterday.
I'm over it.
Yeah, no, but really.
But really. Yeah.
When you have a defenseman who's double the points that Karlsson has.
Twice as pretty.
And the point. Well, and, well, he's Canadian. To me, it's always a go-to, right? You go, all right.
Well, again, Marner versus Nylander. oh, Nylander sucks, but Marner's going to be awesome. He's going to make a $10 million. Yeah, but they're like 7 points apart in 2 years. No, no. The Canadian guy.
Yeah, but look at what Marner's done this year.
You know, I know, but I'm just...
And look what Nylander's done this year.
He's gotten awesome at Fortnite.
Yeah. So, to me, yeah, long before he rolled in here and got waxed, and I do think at the end of our last show, you asked about a score, and I said, yeah, and I think Ottawa wins.
Can I say, from an outsider's perspective, it feels like we don't miss you, right? Like, a year ago, we were debating legitimately top three player in the league.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have a conversation with a Senators fan that even entertained that Drew Doughty or Brent Burns or Victor Hedman might be better without getting shouted down about it. And now it's sort of, yeah, no, we don't miss him. He was the problem. It does feel a little like the spurned lover, right?
Yeah, of course. And let's not, if Carlson was ripping it up like I anticipated he would, right, and may still.
Yes.
Right? If he rolled into town as a leading scorer, yes, amongst defensemen, 30-plus points.
Sure.
Killing it, right?
Yep.
Running a top-end power play. You go, that's all the shit that couldn't get done here.
Right.
And he's doing it there. But no, he's well behind the pace.
I think he's at 15 points, yes, in 25 games, I believe.
Yeah. And so at that point, again, with Shabbat being over 30 points.
Yep.
Anna having a slightly better defensive conscience.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you go. And we're a better team this year than last year. Okay, and better? Still 15% more goals than the next worst team in terms of goals against.
Yep.
But we are a more successful team right now than we were with him. And so all those things sort of go, yeah, all right, man, he's gone, right?
So for his return, 17,531 attendance. Is that about what you would have expected?
I would have thought it would have been sold out.
Yeah.
That's about 1,000 shy of a sellout.
To me, I thought I was impressed with that number. Frankly, because attendance here has been an issue, although not as big as it was predicted to be, but also Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock for any Canadian market is not normal, right? Like, I don't know. I thought that was pretty good.
Well,
I would have when the game was starting and during warm-up, didn't look like it was going to be anywhere close to that. And it did fill up. And TSN, who covered the game, did some nice work. There was clearly a couple of shots of dad in an Alfredson jersey and his kid in a Carlson jersey beside him, right? You saw a lot of that as they panned around the building. The celebration itself was kind of muted. In a lot of cases, that's controlled by the player. When he puts his helmet back on and steps back on the bench, we're kind of done clapping, right, and whatever.
Yep.
But I thought Carlson had a ton of jump in the first. He was booed the first time he touched the puck, but cheered loudly when they did the tribute.
Well, he had half their shots. He had four of their eight first period shots.
And he was having a good time. He came in and snowed Anderson at one point, and Anderson kind of, you know, they're having a laugh. It was clearly done in jest. And
well, he snowed him from far enough out,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure.
It wasn't like...
And you could see DeMello at first does kind of grab him and go, oh, okay, I see what we're doing here,
yeah,
right? And I don't know. To me, the Sens laid a pretty good beating on San Jose, which... for the home crowd is all you can hope for. Show up, salute the guy, and then
think of a time when another guy, short of Alexei Yashin, maybe, right, way back in the day when he got traded and came back and got beat. Man, I can't think of another guy who's come back. Alfredson had a 3-point night.
Yeah,
Heatley came back, had a 4-point night. Right, Spets, I can't remember, but they certainly Dallas won. Right, it's like we've always traded away guys, and we've been a lesser team for it.
Right.
That wasn't the case this year, and that certainly wasn't the case on the ice, right? And how about the untalked about or overlooked part of this is, yeah, you have Tierney and DeMello as former Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
How about Mikhail Bodker?
Yep.
4 points last night,
yep,
as a former Shark who got traded away, not in the Carlson trade.
Yeah, no, that was earlier.
Yeah, for the Hoffman
deal.
Right. And so, yeah, you forget that there's other guys in this trade who go,
Well, TSN interviewed Dylan DeMello during, I think it was the first interview.
Yeah, and TSN 1200 radio did Tierney.
And he kind of said, yeah, you know, that was a thing. We're not, we get it that he's the, but we're playing our former team too, and we're not going to be overlooked. And all those guys had a pretty good afternoon.
For sure. For sure, for sure.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the newest wrinkle in the new arena deal here in Ottawa. Eugene Melnyk feuding with his, I guess now it's safe to call, former partner.
I don't know. I don't know about that. John Ruddy of the Trinity Investment Group.
So for those who aren't familiar, John Ruddy is a very well-known and well-respected guy around the community in terms of all kinds of different developments and real estate and this and that. He's heavily involved with the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group.
OSEG,
Yeah, who owned the Red Blacks and the 67s. They are responsible for having redone that entire Lansdowne area, redid the stadium, redid the arena underneath, built all that, you know, restaurant, retail area kind of in behind it. He has a fantastic reputation in the market. So he partners with Eugene Melnyk to put forward this bid for Rendezvous Le Breton, I believe is what the the presentation was called. And that was to build the new arena and, again, retail space and condos and everything else in that general area. So that falls to pieces as, depending on what side of this you want to believe it, and I'll share a couple of articles so you can kind of get your own feel for it in all the usual places. But
or you can just take our word for it.
Yeah.
As guys
Melnyk accuses John Ruddy of impacting their development at Le Breton by building new condo and retail space. I believe it's at 90 or 900.
900 Albert.
Albert, which is very close to this new development. Essentially, Melnyk's claim is, and it sounds reasonable enough, that part of the deal to finance his arena will be paid by selling condos and real estates and commercial space around that area. And if you turn around privately, which he's accusing John Ruddy of doing, and build another condo space and other, you know, commercial space nearby, that will impact sales of the ones across the street that are going to help pay for the arena.
Right.
Is that about right?
Yeah. And what happens here is you have the 900 Albert, mm-hmm. and then you have the Zibby Group, which is on the other side.
Zibby.
And so really, although it's slow in developing, the Zibby Group, you are looking at the Le Breton and the Melnyk Group, those condos being third on the scene.
Yes. And in a desirable area, but no one, you don't want to be third in. You want to be first in, right?
On a heavily, on a now heavily saturated condo community.
And both of these sides have had studies commissioned. Melnyk's said, yes, we will be hugely impacted by these other ones. And Ruddy's studies, no, we'll be okay, right? We'll be able to sell both. There is a conspiracy theory abound here that says this is the city and Ruddy and whoever else might be involved trying to put the squeeze on Melnyk to maybe force him to sell.
Because he doesn't have the money.
He can't do it on his own. He can't build this new thing. He's already horribly unpopular. The arena's in a bad spot. And I can't remember exactly who it was now, but it was a great quote that said every year that Canadian Tire Centre, and it's had a bunch of different names, has been out in Kanata, it's gotten further away. And what it meant was when that was first built, it was nothing to drive there because we had an NHL team. But every year that it becomes just a little bit less of a novelty, gets further, right? And
well, the building was, not only do you have the NHL franchise, you have a brand new arena.
That's right. So this is one of those things I understand.
And a bunch of shit. It was built out in the middle of nowhere.
A farmer's field.
Now everything has got developed around it and closer to the city.
Yep.
You actually now have to go through more to get to it.
Yes.
Not just that physical space.
Right.
That development, which has been such a boon commercially.
Yeah.
Is actually hurting people coming from, and as we've said on the show before, Ottawa is built on an east-west along the river. So it's long and shallow.
Yep.
And Kanata and the Palladium slash Scotiabank Place / whatever
Corral
else.
Center.
Corral Center, sorry, yes.
Yeah.
Now CTC.
Yeah.
Is at the far west end, like far as you can get out the west end. So you have a bunch
you're
of people.
Almost a run through.
Like, yeah, Carlton Place almost.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of people out in the east end, your Rocklands, your Orleans, your Cumberland. They got to drive all the way through the city.
It's far.
And it's a long way in traffic.
Yeah.
And
the traffic, like this is part of the point, right? The building hasn't moved, but it seems further because you don't like the owner and because of how there's more traffic. There's more.
Okay.
It just seems further every time. And to me, and I'm going to allow you to take the floor here on this in a second. To me, the city hates the owner, all that stuff. To me, this is not one to put on Eugene Melnyk. He's a difficult guy to get along with. He's not somebody that people want to work with. And I think the other side of this group, including the mayor's office, including John Ruddy, have identified that and said this might be an opportunity to squeeze him out because no one's going to support him. And we can kind of take over this team or at least sell it to someone we would prefer to work with.
Right. And 2 points here. 2 points. First, I want to continue that point of how much further west it is, really. Is while not a major thrust, you have all the discontent with the ownership group.
Yeah.
You also have in 4 years when they had that, when the NCC said, yes, we'll deal with, you are the winning bidder, yes. Rendezvous Le Breton. And they were, at that point, there was optimism that there'd be shovels in the ground in 2019 to build that new arena.
Now we don't even know who owns it.
Now we don't even know who's bidding on that.
A month out from 2019.
And we are on the doorstep.
Yep.
And so I think there's a lot of people who have been suffering from being in the deep south or the far east to try and get to Kanata. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, fuck. Okay, finally, you're going to put a central arena in that's going to be serviced by light rail.
Yep.
Closer
to hotels, closer to restaurants.
And we hate the ownership. And you know, we're just going to wait.
Right.
And I've said that. I've brought that point to the table on a number of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's valid. I think a lot of people go, really? And you go, no, this is a fact. The flip side is, and you've referred now to the mayor weighing in a bit on this. I look at a little bit of irresponsible media, right? CTV Ottawa speaking to the mayor, and I'm listening to that interview live. And they're saying, can you talk to us about the senators wanting a free arena?
Right.
And he's like, yeah, no, that's not happening. We don't. And so the Ottawa mayor, Jim Watson, saying, yeah, no, we're not in the business of doing that. And so that's kind of the end of it. And we told him that. And so, but then the guy came back, the CTV Ottawa reporter, must have asked the same question 5 times.
Right.
Like to me, it was that media guy who continued to push that angle. Like, I want to portray Melnyk in the worst light possible.
Yeah.
And how many different sound bites can I have of Jim Watson saying, yeah, we're not doing that. We told him we're not doing that and we're not using taxpayer money.
Right.
And so now that's been kind of spun as a mayor grandstanding on a political issue when really the fact is he's responding 5 times to the same question. Like, I'm listening to it and I'm thinking, hey, buddy.
Asked and answered, man.
He's already asked that. Go in a different direction.
Right.
Right? But it happens. And then you have the senators and Rutkowski or whoever.
Well, you would be irresponsible as an owner of any team to not ask.
I think everybody agrees. Hey.
You start here. Hey.
Can I get this for free?
Can you build this? No. Oh,
no.
Fuck.
All right. Well, I guess we'll go for
that.
Yeah. That's a negotiation. I totally get it.
Sure.
Right? But the flip side is you have then the senators responding to this media.
Yeah, they're bad at that.
Right. And they're saying, yeah, well, if you look at the city put $140 million into Lansdowne, why won't they put any money into us and Le Breton and helping to develop that?
Right.
Well, the simple answer is Lansdowne is still heavily city owned. Le Breton is not.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's NCC land. Which yeah, and for people not from around here, NCC is sort of an agreement company or a cooperative.
National Capital Commission.
Yeah, between the nation and the city. Because this is the nation's capital, there's designated areas sort of run by the country as much as the city, despite being in the middle of the city.
To make this beautiful for all the rest of you.
Sure.
And so,
come on up for Blues Fest.
Yeah, well, this is it. That's apparently what all is being used for right now. We're putting money into ourselves as opposed to putting money into you.
Right.
That, to me, seems like good math. So it's really, if you want to dovetail these two things together.
Where do you fall then? As a Sens fan, if you had to pick a side.
I'm always siding on the anti-Melnick side.
Yeah.
And really what it comes down to is, and I think what you said has validity. A, that's the way you start negotiations. Mm-hmm. B, you go, yeah, but you're going to, he's talking to Ruddy saying, you stand to benefit from all this.
Right.
And, well, okay, but yeah, that's why he's already a hugely successful developer in this city.
But he's doing that thing at 900 Albert.
Yep.
On his own. You're going to make all the money. You're fucking us, this partnership across the street, because now there are these condos that we were going to build are going to be less in demand, and we needed those to pay for the building.
Yeah, I don't think he's fucking it, because I don't think he's getting involved at all if he thought it was going to be of harm to him.
Oh, I don't know about that. If I got this thing over here that's mine and this thing over here that's ours, I'm taking care of mine first. It's still going to be walking distance to the arena.
There's some validity for sure, as I said. But to me, you look at it and go, all the way along, Eugene Melnick no longer gets any benefit of the doubt.
Nope, that's right. And he doesn't deserve any. I'm not trying to...
Everywhere you look, you go, fuck, it's always that guy's involved.
Yep. And I just wonder, from kind of an outsider's perspective, is it, I'm taking all this other pent-up stuff I got on him and looking at this one and going,
yep,
yeah, this is probably your fucking fault too.
And totally an option.
We don't know yet, right? Because he's filed this lawsuit and he's only listed his side, which what else are you going to fucking do?
Well,
and so this will all come out as we go along. But right now, I've got a little bit of time for his side of the argument.
Sure. But the reality is he is the guy who's always fucking causing this thing.
Sure.
And he can't go it alone.
No, he can't. But what I would suggest is that this is, if they're trying to put the squeeze on him, it's not him that they're going to have to worry about. It's Bettman.
For sure.
Bettman just sold a team to Vegas for $500 million. He's just sold a team to Seattle for $650 million. Yep. He will not let anything sewer, especially a Canadian market, down to a shitty price where they someone can pick it up easy.
There was rumors that DevCore, that whole sort of Cirque du Soleil group and everything, they were offering him around $470 million.
Right.
Right.
And never happened.
Cause as you say, Bettman's not going to let that happen.
No. So unless they're going to prices are this and they're not going down.
Yep.
Right.
So yeah, all that for sure. And if you're Melnick and you're saying, I can't do it alone, you've now pissed off the most moneyed guy.
Mm-hmm. And a super popular guy.
Right. Like, and the reality is there's so much money involved in this. This is a $4 billion project that I don't think a little lawsuit right now is going to scare Ruddy or Melnick or anybody else who at the end of the line go, yeah, all right.
Just seeing who's going to blink.
Yeah. And at this point, I think it's Ruddy's got more money.
I think so, too. But he's got no team to put in that building without...
Well, there's not going to be a building. That's what we're saying.
Be a nice new library and some sidewalks.
It's archives, condos, library.
All looking at nothing.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll wind this one down. Lots on the business and contract side of sports here.
Fuck, I just want to talk sports, right? You hate this stupid bullshit.
Well, nice of you to sewer our own show now.
No. It's got to be talked about, right? But as we talk, look at it. We've bookended this show with contractual talks and then business dealings. And then a little bit of actual sports right in the middle. But again, that came down to dealings too. So
for sure it did. We're going to have lots of great stuff on the next one. We got a little baseball to talk. We got some MMA to talk. All of that coming up on the next Tall Can Sports. We'll wind this one down. We'll catch you all on the next episode of Tall Can Sports.
See ya!
listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.